WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in. Third and final hour of the program here on Monday morning. Normally at this time, we would be joined by New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo, but he is still out of town. He'll be back with us next Monday to resume the segment, and he'll be rested and relaxed and ready for campaign season. So, but in the meantime, it's you and I, 508-996-0500, and we have a call on hold, so let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hey, how are you? Campaign season. Can't wait. What's been going on with ISIS coming to Massachusetts? Or they're already here?
Well, yeah, they've been here. There's been over 50 arrests in New Bedford since the start of the Trump administration, second Trump administration.
Yeah, I guess he's put more in the Boston area.
Yeah, well, because they feel like Boston is encouraging these sanctuary policies. So as part of Tom Homan's plan to bring hell to Boston, they have put more ICE on the ground here.
See, there's a couple of things I like he did, but there's a lot of things he's not following the laws on, and he's getting away with it. And that's not right. Somebody needs to do something about it, and there's not enough Republicans that'll stand up to him. And other than Newsom and what's her name, the Hispanic girl that's in Congress and Jasmine Crockett.
AOC, yeah. Well, but here's the problem. It's pretty early in the process for, you know, someone from the Democrat side to be standing up. I mean, Gavin Newsom's just kind of getting ahead of it, but I mean, it's pretty early. I mean, I think the Democrats' plan right now is, you know, give Trump enough rope, and that they're just looking at this more on for the midterms and saying, if we just let him keep operating the way that he's doing and we challenge it where we need to, but that we don't get crazy about it, then that's only going to help us out when the midterms come around and all these changes that he promised don't actually happen for people.
In other words, let him step in the bear trap.
Right. I mean, whether or not those changes do, I'm just saying, like, that's their view of it.
I don't know. He's definitely going to do his full term if he's healthy enough. There's rumors about his health, and he doesn't look good. But you got to remember, the president's got the best doctors, so they'll keep him going. But we're going to have to deal with him until 2028. I do not believe he'll be able, even if he tries, he'll be too unhealthy. He'll be almost 90 years old to run another term. He'll have one of his peons try to run and follow what he's doing. But I don't know. He's just not, he's not doing what he's supposed to do, and people are letting him get away with it.
Well, I mean, I've said before, I don't know that, you know, the idea of the MAGA culture continues if it's not Donald Trump. I mean, it doesn't matter. It could be one of his kids. It could be J.D. Vance. It could be anybody. But I think it's his unique personality that draws people to him that I don't know that anybody else would have the kind of that same draw. You'd have a lot of people that just wouldn't vote. It's not that they would turn against the Republican Party. They just wouldn't be as motivated to vote if it's not him, because they voted for him, not for a party.
I heard something, too. And, you know, I'm not just going to tag it any generation, but they're saying a lot of the millennials voted for Trump because they think he's funny, which he does do funny things, and people get a kick out of it.
Well, I don't know that it's just that. I think a lot of people that are of that age group are looking at, you know, they're not getting the future that their parents might have gotten, and they're not getting the future that was promised to them when they were younger, and so they were looking for something that would shake that up.
And amazing enough, both Generation X, so a lot of Generation X, and millennials had baby boomer parents.
Right. And so
that's what's interesting about it.
We look at it as, you know, we wanted to have that same thing. We wanted to be able to retire when we were, you know, 65, 68, 70, whatever. We wanted to be able to maybe have a beach house. We wanted to be able to have two cars in the driveway. And it's, the reality of the world today is it's getting harder and harder for people to be able to do that. And the other big part of it, too, is I think people just feel like that they don't want to continue on the current path. So anything that shakes that up is attractive. And he certainly came in as somebody that was looking to shake things up.
He's a baby boomer Trump, right? He's like the beginning of it.
Yeah, I would call that. Yeah, I would say so. I mean, anything that's post-World War II. Yeah.
See, we got two, and I'll hang up after this. Nothing against baby boomers. They had a rough time with the Vietnam War. Other than that, I think they had a good old time, but there were baby boomers that were actually normal, too, like my parents. My dad did time in the Marine Corps. My mother worked hard. My father worked hard. They weren't into all that. I'm sure they party, but they weren't into all that free love crap that, you know, and then they turn around and put a suit on and change their views. Those are the people I don't like, and they ran from the draft and...
Well, I mean, to be fair, sometimes people's values change. Sometimes they look at it as when you're younger, you might not, you know, in their eyes, they might have said, I didn't understand the world back then, or I didn't have the same sense of responsibility that I have later. So, I mean, I think people can evolve, and I don't fault somebody if they were, you know, say liberal when they were in their 20s and conservative when they're in their 50s and 60s. That's kind of just natural. It's a natural progression of being a person, of being a human being. But I think the bigger part of it is when people are, you know, when they become that conservative and then they don't remember what it was like to be that liberal. And they call those people morons and idiots and communists and all these other things when, you know, you could easily just say they just don't understand how the world works. They'll learn eventually if that's the way you feel about it.
If Trump was a Democrat and an independent at one time, and if you look, I think I told you this before, I told one of you guys this, if you listen to Trump back in, say, 89, 90, a totally different guy, totally different political views, totally different guy. So I don't know if he had this planned or the power just went to his head.
Or sometimes people just change. Sometimes people's, you know, values or feelings on things just change.
I don't know, man. I just pray for this country. We always do come back, though. We have a history of screwing up and coming back. So I do believe that eventually we will get out of this and come back.
I mean, look at it. I just to kind of your point, and I know where you're kind of going with it. I would agree. The guy was a failed businessman. He was not doing well business-wise. He became a reality TV star, and that the luster started to shine off of that. The TV show went away, and so now you got to do something else. And this certainly put an injection into the Trump business model. So
it all started with him in the politics, mainly with the Obama birth certificate, which he failed on.
Which is just him, you know. I'm sure it was just him going on Twitter and you know, mouthing off about things.
No, you went right on the Show the View.
I know, but I'm saying like how it started. You know, it was just kind of getting into the fray of a popular conversation, and then just took it to the extreme.
He went on all these shows, and they don't like him now. But they went on. He went on all these shows, and Donald, great to have you here. Even Howard Stern, none of these people like him now. But yet they're all letting him on the show, promoting him back. Before he got in the office.
Well, but there's also a difference between liking somebody because they're just a celebrity that you can have on and get some ratings out of it, and then whether or not you want that person to run the country is a different story. And also, he's exposed himself or shown himself to be, like you said, a different person. So you can change your opinion of him based on that, too. Before I thought he was an innocuous, who cares, it's just Donald Trump, whatever. And now I feel differently.
Oh, I totally feel differently, too. I'm an independent. I am not a liberal. I used to be a moderate Democrat, which is not a liberal. That would be more conservative, actually. And I've actually voted for Republicans before, too. So, but after George W. Bush, I don't know. And I don't like how the Democrats, whether they're setting him up for a trap or they just have no guts. I don't know.
I just think it's too early in the process to really say if they're being gutless. And also, they're dealing with their own, you know, popularity issues. They're not doing well in polling, so it's hard for somebody to want to stand up. And who wants to be the head loser, you know? If they're looking at you as being a loser right now, then you don't want to be the person standing up at the top of that and being like, yep, I'm the number one loser. Thanks.
But I'd love to hear some other callers come out here. I don't care if they're Republican, MAGA, or whatever. Just hear what they think of all of it. Democrats, whatever. I'd just like to hear how people are thinking these days. Because I'm really not paying attention to the news after I'm hearing, oh, now Trump was an FBI agent. That's a bunch of BS.
Right.
The guy couldn't serve his country 6 times. He ran from the draft. Now he's a big, tough guy.
I'd love to agree with you and espouse more, but it's just going to turn into an hour of a bunch of phone calls I don't want to have to deal with.
I don't know. I'll tell you something. One thing, this ain't a threat or anything like that. An average guy Trump's age that took care of himself and stuff would probably punch Trump and knock him out cold. He's a wimp.
No,
you're a bully.
I wouldn't advocate punching anybody, so...
No, I'm not advocating. I ain't not making any threats. I'm just saying that Trump is a bully. He's a wimp. He portrays himself as a tough guy, and he's a wimp. And there's all sorts of documents on him. He got bullied in military school. Then when he got older, he started bullying the younger kids. And
well, I mean, it worked out for him because now he's in charge of the military, so... I guess he got the ultimate revenge on those bullies.
Yeah, and that greaser Hank Seth, the drunk greaser.
Well, I guess now he's the Secretary of War, so watch out, because he's way more badass now.
Yeah, but they're after the American people. They're not. It's changing. It's changing from going from ICE to now we're going to go rage wars in cities and... I guess just by looking at somebody, you can tell they're a criminal in Trump's eyes.
I mean, it's one thing if you're, you know, if you're assisting. It's another thing if you're taking over. And it seems like, at least in Washington, they were assisting. So, I leave it up to the cities to see if they want to try the same approach. I got to hold you there. I got another call I want to get in. But you have a good day.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's take a call here. And then I do have to take a break after that. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hi, Tim.
How you doing?
So I thought it was funny that I think that guy's name Steve. He was the one who used to bully Jess Machado all the time when she was on. He made her cry. So him calling Trump a bully when he makes women cry on air is an idiot. Trump is doing what people voted him in to do. And the people who voted him in to do that are happy with him. The people that didn't vote him in to do it are not happy with him. And that's all there is to it. That guy... talking about bullies just makes me laugh because I know who he is and I know what he did. And
well, I mean,
call people.
I mean, I do think that certainly Trump has, bully tendencies. By the attitude and the approach that he takes, for sure. But it's also, you know, for people to look at what's happened in 8 months and say, well, he hasn't done any of the things that he's promised. Well, it has only been 8 months. So, I mean, you got to give any administration time.
He's done a lot of things he's promised. He closed the border for one right away that Joe Biden said couldn't be done in 4 years. Well, I can't close the border. I need Congress. I can't do anything. I'm going to give it to Kamala Harris, and she did absolutely nothing. He closed the border in 20 days, and there's been nothing. I mean, he's done what he said. A lot of the things that he said he could do.
Well, it was two different approaches in trying to close the border. One, wanting to do it by executive action and doing it by something that is not a permanent solution. I mean, I think it's fair to say that what Donald Trump is doing with that is not a permanent solution because the next president can come in if they're on the other side
not.
And reverse
but
it.
Where would we be if they left it wide open like that?
I think,
I mean, you just can't invite people in and say, we'll take care of you. Come on in. We're going to pay for everything for you. You can stay as long as you want, and we're going to give you better accommodations than some of our American citizens have, and we're going to pay for everything you need.
But I think
as long as you need.
I think the argument that people would make in favor of that was like that should have put pressure on Congress then to get something done that was a permanent solution, and instead they just buried their head in their sand. But also, also, how was that a surprise though? Because they had been burying their head in the sand about it for decades. So what did you think it was going to change their mind?
Right, but what I'm saying is they have been burying their head in the sand for a long time, and Barack Obama was deporting people. He was called a deporter in chief because he did so much deporting. What Joe Biden did was invite them in and tell them, it's okay, you can come. You come and we'll take care of you. And that's what he did. And that's why they're all here. And that's the problem. You can't take care of people who are going to be a drain on your society forever. I mean, one or two people come in, you know, not one or two, but, you know, a decent amount of people come in because they're, you know, they're coming or running away from some kind of danger in their country, and they need to be taken care of. That's fine, but you can't have every person from every country just come bottlenecking in at the border and just flooding our gates and saying, now take care of us, because that's pretty much what happened.
I mean, a lot of them were coming here and working and paying taxes and looking for those opportunities. So, I mean, it's not fair to categorize everybody as coming in just to come in and live on the public dole.
There was a lot more coming in living on the dole.
There's a lot of American citizens that are doing the same thing.
They're not getting any woman on welfare and getting food stamps if they're paying for a house, if they're paying for her cell phone, if they're paying for her heat and for her groceries and her DoorDash and paying for her laundry, they're not. So a lot of Americans are on the dole, but not to this extent.
Well, but there's also a difference between people who have come here and have been doing it for, you know, 6, 10, 8 months, 2 years, as opposed to people who've been doing it for 20 years. So, I mean, I think that that's something that also needs to be addressed as well.
That needs to be, well, and that's what they're trying to do, is make people work if they're on mass health or any kind of government subsidy insurance. If you're an able-bodied person, then you've got to work.
I'll say this. A lot of the intent behind some of these are things that I can get behind and agree with. I don't think that this is the administration that I trust to execute those things in that way.
I mean, I don't see anybody else even trying. That's the problem.
That's a fair point.
Like you said, Congress didn't do anything. Joe Biden exasperated the problem by inviting more people in. And nobody even tried to do this. Yes, you can't do everything by executive order. You can't. But if Congress does nothing, you can't just let our country, like, fall apart because nobody, they didn't do it, so we can't do it. Nobody else can do it. So let's just, you know, we'll just have a free-for-all. You just can't do that. He's the only person I've seen that has at least tried to live up to what he promised.
All right. I got to hold you there because I got to get in a break before the news. But thank you for the call.
Thank you.
And I got to take that break. We will be back with the news in just a few moments. We can take more calls after that. 508-996-0500. And I'll give you the call-in information again for that Zoom meeting tonight for Parallel Products / South Coast Renewables coming up as well. So that way there, if you need to get a pen and paper ready, you'll have it. We'll be back in just a few moments.
New York's governor upset with President Trump on the issue of the 9/11 memorial. Zelensky calling for more pressure on Russia, and a New Hampshire teen with a record catch.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Governor Kathy Hochul of New York blasting President Trump for considering taking over the 9/11 Memorial and Museum.
Trump is floating the idea after criticism by some victims' families that ticket prices are too high. New York Governor Kathy Hochul is pushing back, noting that the president's proposal comes just months after slashing funding for the World Trade Center Health Program that provides medical care for Ground Zero survivors. Museum officials are rejecting a Trump takeover too, questioning whether that would even be legal. Trump is skipping the 9/11 ceremony in New York this year. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
New York City Mayor Eric Adams not planning to end his reelection campaign. Yesterday, Adams addressed reports he was going to drop out of the request of President Trump to bolster former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo in an effort to defeat Democrat socialist Zohran Mamdani. Adams said he is not dropping out and plans to be mayor for the next 4 years. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent is brushing off concerns following a less-than-desirable jobs report appearing on NBC's Meet the Press yesterday. Bessent said the president's policies will see the country through.
We're not going to do economic policy off of one number. We believe that good policies are in place that are going to create good, high-paying jobs for the American people.
The report showed just 22,000 new jobs added in August, down from the previous month's 73,000. The number was expected to be closer to 75,000, and the first report since President Trump fired the agency's stats chief. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is expressing the need for more pressure from America and European allies against Russia. During an appearance on ABC's This Week, Zelensky said it starts with Russian energy.
This is only one way how to stop the killer. You need to take off his, to take off his weapon. Energy is his weapon.
This comes as the two nations have been at war for over 3 years, and the U.S. has been trying to negotiate an end to the ongoing conflict. President Trump said last week he'll speak to Russian President Vladimir Putin in the near future, adding that the two are having a very good dialogue. South Korean officials say more than 300 Korean workers who were detained last week at an immigration raid are being released.
The workers were arrested Thursday at a Hyundai battery plant in Georgia in what was the largest single immigration raid so far under the Trump administration's deportation drive. The chief of staff to South Korea's president says that negotiations to release the workers have been concluded and that following the completion of administrative procedures, they'll be flown home to South Korea. I'm Scott Carr in Washington.
CBS says they won't edit interviews taped for Face the Nation going forward. Company issued the statement explaining that in response to audience feedback, Face the Nation will now only broadcast live or live-to-tape interviews. The announcement comes after complaints from Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem after her appearance on the show earlier in the week. She accused CBS of making selective edits to her interview. CBS News said that it was edited for time and made the full interview available online. An Italian teenager who was once known as God's influencer has been canonized as the first millennial saint. Thousands of young people filled St. Peter's Square in the Vatican yesterday to witness the ceremony presided over by Pope Leo XIV and held up pictures of Carlo Acutis, who died in 2006 of leukemia at age 15. Before he died, Acutis learned computer code so he could build websites to spread his Catholic faith. His story became well known among the Catholic youth, and Carlo was beatified by Pope Francis in 2020. A New Hampshire teen has landed a catch many can only dream about. The boy, 13-year-old Jackson DeNeo of Hampton, New Hampshire, headed out for an overnight charter so he could wake up early and drop his line in the water. DeNeo's bait attracted what would be the biggest Atlantic halibut on record, all 174 pounds of it. Almost twice DeNeo's weight. Waiting to hear back from the International Game Fish Association to find out if his catch is a junior world record.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox beat the Arizona Diamondbacks 7-4 last night. Both teams play again tonight. First pitch, 10:05, and the Patriots lost their home opener against the Raiders 20-13.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
We are expecting a partly sunny day today, blend of sun and clouds, if you will. It's going to be warmer, too, than we saw yesterday with highs near 73. For tonight, partly cloudy skies with a low near 50. And for Tuesday, plenty of sunshine with highs topping out in the lower 70s. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Kelly Bates on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Such an underappreciated song. Anyway, you can't stop this thing we started. That's what Bryan Adams sang to us way back there in, what, 1991, 92. But the Patriots certainly started off well and didn't play so well in the second half of yesterday's game. And I got a feeling that games are going to be like that throughout the course of the season. So all the optimism that we had leading into the game and then getting into the first half, we watched the Patriots kind of whittle away the optimism that we, Patriot Nation, had. So you've got to find a way to have a good time while you're watching the games, because it's probably going to get frustrating at certain points in time. So why not head over to Ryan Sports Pub and Billiards in New Bedford for Football Sundays? On Football Sundays, they open at 11 a.m., and they have some great specials that'll certainly make it a lot easier to handle whatever happens in those Patriots games, because they have 50-cent wings. They have $6 slider specials. Their sliders are so good. They have $3 drafts and boozy buckets. So you can get a bucket of 5 domestic beers for $20. You can get a bucket of 5 imported beers for $25. Or you can get a bucket of 5 seltzers for $30. So those boozy buckets are back at Ryan's Sports Pub and Billiards, and those Sunday football specials, 50-cent wings, $6 sliders, $3 drafts, plus you never know what else they're going to come up with each and every week at Ryan's Sports Pub and Billiards. It's really great food, but at affordable prices. So you don't just have to go there on Sundays. Go there any time of the week. You're going to find some fun that's happening, some fun events, some fun drink specials, food specials, and they like to actually do it in a way where it's not just about eating or drinking. It's about the experience you have of going there. So stop by and check it out and see if it doesn't become your new favorite hangout. That's Ryan Sports Pub and Billiards, 500 Hathaway Road in New Bedford, located inside the Whalers Inn and Suites. So stop by, have a drink, have a burger, have a pizza, and it'll become one of your new favorites. Okay, 508-996-0500. That is my number here if you want to call in and chime in. Again, if you're just tuning in and wondering where City Council President Shane Burgo is, he's still on vacation. He'll be back with us next week, and we'll have plenty to talk with him about, because tonight is that meeting for South Coast Renewables / Parallel Products, and the Board of Health is meeting to start their discussions and deliberations as to whether or not to approve this project. And if you want to take part in the meeting, if you want to watch it, it's going to be via Zoom. And we shared the Zoom meeting link on the WBSM Facebook page. So if you go there, you don't have to follow us to see it, but it'd be nice if you do give us a follow while you're there. Give us a like. And when you go there, you'll be able to click directly on that link to take you to the meeting. But if you need to listen to it by phone because you don't have a computer or you don't have the capability to call in, Zoom doesn't have to be something that you download on your computer either. Just keep that in mind. It can open up in a web browser. So if you just don't have Zoom installed in your computer, that's okay. You can still watch it in your Chrome browser or Safari or whatever browser that you use. Firefox, Microsoft, if you use, what's it, Bing? Is that, no, what's the browser called? I forget. I don't use it. I use Chrome. But anyway, if you can't use the computer or your phone to watch the Zoom meeting, well, then you can call in at 1-646-558-8656. Again, that's 1-646-558-8656. That's the number that you dial in. So you call into Zoom. You're calling Zoom on that number. 1-646-558-8656. Then when you connect with Zoom, Zoom is going to ask you for a meeting ID number. You have to type in that number, which basically brings you into the conference room for that meeting. And the U.S. meeting ID for this particular meeting is 396-636-5159. 396-636-5159. So that will help you connect to it. You know what? Let's see if we can know. Let's do this. So I'm calling that phone number to call into Zoom.
Welcome to Zoom. Enter your meeting ID followed by pound. If you are the meeting host, please enter your host key followed by pound. If you are a participant, please press pound to continue. The meeting has not started. Please wait or try again later.
And that's it. That's all there is to it. I could sit here on hold and listen to this music until 6 p.m. tonight, but that might get kind of tedious, especially for those of you listening on the radio. Plus, somebody might try to call in the VIP line and won't be able to get through. But that's all that there is to it. That it's as simple as that to be able to make this call. So what are you waiting for? Well, I mean, you're waiting for 6 p.m. tonight, but, you know, be part of it. And this might be the first Zoom meeting that you ever take part in. You're going to realize that this is the future, because you didn't have to get up and leave the house for a meeting where you wouldn't have been able to speak anyway. It'd be one thing if there's a meeting where you can actually have active participation, but I'm actually a fan of these meetings as somebody who has to sometimes cover them. It's so much better to just be able to watch it at home than to have to trudge somewhere to go watch it and then not have access, not be able to ask questions afterwards. So I think I don't know how well it's going to work out listening on the phone the whole time. It might be a long meeting, but hopefully you got speakerphone. You can put it on speaker and listen. Just make sure that you are muted. They should mute all the microphones. That's usually what they'll do. They'll mute all the microphones. But just in case, just make sure you hit mute on your phone too. All right. I got to take a break here. We will be back in a few moments. Stick around. Market shoes. This loud Cuban band is crucifying John Lennon. No one wants to be lonely. No one wants to sing the blues. Spreads like a beret on his tuxedo shoulder. Christ, what's she doing here? All right, welcome back in. That is Key West Intermezzo by John Mellencamp, and maybe you're taking a little intermezzo for yourself down to Key West. You're flying out of Logan, but you don't know how you're going to get there. You're either going to drive and park there and pay 50, 60 bucks a day, and that's in the economy garage, or you're going to park at one of those hotels for a little bit less than that and have to worry about when the shuttle's going to pick you up and bring you over there and if your car is going to be safe and if they even had permission to park you in that hotel parking lot anyway, or if you're going to get towed while you're in Key West. Or maybe you're thinking I'll get a ride share or something and have to pay well over $100 for that ride. It could be a variety of different stresses. And then that doesn't even take into account what the traffic will be like, what the road work will be like. So why not skip all that and just fly from New Bedford to Boston? because it'll be beneficial for you to skip through all of that hassle. And you get to go through TSA here in New Bedford when there's only a few people in line, as opposed to in Boston where there could be a few hundred people in line. So take advantage of this all new service that's going to be departing twice a day from New Bedford year round at 8:15 a.m. and 2 p.m. and then returning from Boston at 1 p.m. and 6:40 p.m. from Cape Air. And it's really, really affordable, $99 just about. But right now, for the introductory price, because it launches at the end of the month on September 29th, they're going to offer flights for $79 one way. So take advantage of it. Enjoy it. Stress-free, relaxing. An extra airplane ride is always fun. And you're going to get there to Logan for your connecting flight and not have to deal with any of the other Logan hassles. Right now, you can enter a contest at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app to win free passes from Cape Air. And they have another contest that they're running. If you stop into the airport and ask someone at the ask an agent at the counter about the New Bedford Logan route, and just for asking about it, just finding out more information about it, just saying, hey, tell me about that New Bedford Logan flight that starts the end of the month. They will enter you to win two Nesson box seat tickets to see the Red Sox and Athletics on Thursday, September 18th. You'll be sitting in the Nesson box watching that game Thursday, September 18th. So stop by the airport and ask an agent about the New Bedford Logan route, and you will be entered to win. Right now, I've got to take my final break of the program before we give way to Chris McCarthy in South Coast Now. We will be right back.